Welcome back to The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. Pífaro, a professional musical ensemble specializing in the music of the Renaissance performed on historically accurate instruments, returns to Wilmington next week for a concert called Tools of the Trade. The performance highlights historical musical instruments and how they evolved into their modern counterparts. And on this edition of Arts Playlist, Delaware Public Media's Martin Matheny is joined by Pífaro's artistic director, Priscilla Harried, to delve into the music and the instruments.
Tell me about this ensemble and some of the musicians in it.
We are a 45-year-old organization started in Philadelphia in the early 80s as the Philadelphia Renaissance Wind Band. And we still are one of the few groups in the world that specialize in the music of really 15th and 16th century civic wind bands. But back then, what was then the Philadelphia Renaissance Wind Band was really groundbreaking. And specializing in this music that, not just the music, but these particular instrumentalists, which were really stood out at that time for being the professionals. These are the professional musicians that if you were living more likely in a city or a town in the Renaissance in Europe, you'd be hearing shawms, sackbuts, recorders, bagpipes, all of these wind instruments day in and day out, because they had, their jobs were to create music for a variety of functions of daily life. And, you know, now in the 20th and 21st centuries, we're trying to give that to you in concert format. So what we do, it's, you know, it's in the realm of classical music, but it's really a very unique thing. And we're a group of, we have six core members. We're usually more like seven, maybe a little more, and sometimes we expand to include singers and extra string players and things. We're all what you'd call early music specialists, or people who specialize in music from long ago. And in Pífaro, one of the kind of highlights, one of the first things that people notice, I think, when they see Pífaro, is that all of us play a number of different instruments. And that is authentic to what these musicians were doing in the Renaissance. You might be really, really specialized in one or two things, but you also had to play a wide variety of things. Kind of like a lot of woodwind players today are still what we'd call doublers. If you look in a pit at a musical, or if you look at a big band or something, there are a lot of people who play clarinet, but they also play flute and they also play saxophone. So that is a long-running tradition.
Tell me about the name and where the name Pífaro comes from.
Pífaro is an old Italian word for piper. And what it really specifically refers to is the instrument called the shawm, which is essentially the ancestor of today's oboe. But really, piper, Pífaro would have been, yeah, someone who plays a wind instrument, probably specifically the shawm. And if you were a player back in the 15th century, your name might be something like Giovanni Pífaro, because your last name described what you did.
And in Germany, the last name Pfeiffer really popular as well, right?
Yes. That's one of those friendly cognates there. You've got Pfeiffer, Piper, yeah, all of them. Yeah.
So the concerts coming up in October are called Tools of the Trade, and you're going to introduce some of the Renaissance-era instruments that we don't see on modern concert stages. So you mentioned the shawm, but talk about some of the period instruments and their modern counterparts, and also how do they sound compared to sort of their modern counterparts?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. People are always struck by these instruments because partly it's the huge amount of them that are on stage. But the next thing that strikes people is the sound. They really sound different. They sound, and it's not even that they sound old. I think they just sound like something else. And we have, as you said, we have instruments that evolved into instruments that we know today. And then we have instruments that didn't, that really are from that time and place. And that's it. For instruments that we can see a lineage continue on, the shawm, as I said, the shawm turned into today's oboe, then most of these instruments come in families of like soprano, alto, tenor, bass. We're going to show you a lot of that in this concert. The shawms get the typical size, and what would be the oboe is a soprano. The alto might be what we think of today as to what we know today as the English horn. We don't really think of that as an alto oboe, but that is, or a tenor oboe, really, but that is what it is. And then when they figured out how to, you know, these instruments just got bigger and bigger and bigger and were not very portable and not very flexible. And it was really like playing on a big tree when you get to what is the bass shawm. And we're going to have one in this show. It's about 6 feet tall. When they figured out how to turn wood and create an instrument where the inside, where the bore doubled back on itself, they made what is the instrument that turned into today's bassoon, which in the Renaissance we called the dulcian, or the kirtle, the short instrument, the sweet instrument. So we'll show the evolution from the really big shawms into the dulcian. The instrument that we'll have on stage that looks the most like its descendant is the sackbut, or really just the trombone. The Renaissance trombone looks like just a smaller trombone. And it really evolved the least out of all of our instruments. It's just a very, very small bell compared to today's very flared bell. And that will also show the evolution from a straight tube, or the straight trumpet, which is just pieces of metal tubes that connect to each other by friction. It's crazy. They don't fall apart. And you can make them sort of infinitely long until the metal just can't take it anymore and would kink off. But we'll have a couple different sizes of straight trumpet. Again, like the same kind of concept of turning wood. They figured out how to turn brass and make a slide. The next thing that came was an instrument we call the slide trumpet. Then as big a moment in music instrument technology as the shawm dulcian thing was the slide trumpet turning into a trombone. Suddenly you've got one of the most flexible instruments on stage. The trombone was played with everybody. The trombone played loud music, it played soft music, it plays with singers. It is one of the most beautiful, flexible, but also can be very powerful instruments of the Renaissance. And right at the beginning of the concert, we're going to just show you the straight trumpet turning into the slide trumpet turning into the sackbut. And what's nice about it is, yes, you can hear these differences, but the differences are also so visual that you really don't have to know anything about music or theory or history or anything, but you look at it and you go, oh, I see what happened. That's amazing. Another instrument that is very familiar on stage of these, of all of the ones we play, is the recorder. And that instrument did not really turn into anything else. What you or your kids might have played in school, that's a recorder. So it's a great instrument to introduce kids to music on, but it is also a real instrument that you can get better and better at if you choose to.
For people who are unfamiliar with Renaissance music, early music, who are some of the key figures? Who are some of the big composers?
There are so many, so many composers from this time. And there's also, one thing that's so amazing to me about the Renaissance is that far and away, the music is all really good. For really, really big names, we did a concert a few years ago, which a lot of people did concerts about this person a few years ago because it was an anniversary of his death. William Byrd is one of the really, really the most famous English composers, not just of the Renaissance, but period, just a very, very famous name. Josquin des Prez was an extremely important composer, Flemish composer. So thinking where you can kind of combine the sounds of the Netherlands and France. One of the most important Spanish composers of the time was Francisco Guerrero. A lot of these composers were famous for their music, but also as teachers. They would probably have been the organist in the cathedral or at the court. And so they had a lot of just all of these young musicians would study with them. And so their influence would spread that way.
Well, tell me about some of the, tell me about some of the composers on Tools of the Trade.
Well, Tools of the Trade is going to have a wide variety of, rather than being a kind of a programmatic concert, which is frequently what you see in a Pifaro concert, we are going to be using pieces as tools, again, to highlight the instrument. So I'm picking music that really shows off the instruments really well. We'll have a piece that we did in a concert a couple years ago from the first book of printed multi-part music or polyphonic music, the Odeckaton, so from about 1500 by Compère, who was an important French composer from that time. We'll have a whole suite of pieces from a book, from a very, very important dance manual, one of the few sources that show us information about dance steps in the Renaissance and also the music that would go along with them. That book is called Orchisography. We'll play a couple canzonas, which are almost instrumental fantasias that really come from keyboard tradition, but work really, really well on recorders. We'll play one by a very important keyboard composer of the time, Claudio Merulo. One very big name from the very beginning of the Renaissance is Dufay, Guillaume Dufay, and we'll play a beautiful, well-known piece of his, Si la face est pâle, If My Face Is Pale, The Cause Is Love, which is excellent on shams and trumpets. Another name you might know is Gesualdo. Gesualdo is one of those composers who pushed the envelope, and when you listen to his music, it could have been written yesterday. You just hear chords that just smack you in the face, that just are so crunchy, and then it'll cadence into this beautiful triad. We'll play a piece of his for five parts, and we're going to play it on trombones and dulcians, a nice low choir of trombones and bassoons. In our musical evolution that we're going to show, this concert is going to show instruments both doing what they do in their heyday and then also how they evolved. And one thing that Pifferot does not do too often is play music of the early Baroque. We do it, but it's not our main thing. So we're going to show the beginnings of this kind of hazy time where the sham is eventually going to become an oboe. We're going to play an instrument called the Deutsche Schalmei, which doesn't really look like either of these things. It's higher, it sounds not quite like a sham, but it's maybe starting to turn into an oboe. We're going to play a piece with two of those Deutsche Schalmeis, or German shams is the translation, and trombones and dulcian and theorbo, which is a really, really, really huge lute, a bass lute instrument by Heinrich Schütz, who's a very, very famous name in the early Baroque era, where still you're not to Bach yet, but you're out of the Renaissance. You're in this really beautiful, interesting transitional place.
Thanks to Pifferot's artistic director, Priscilla Harried, and our Martin Matheny for joining us on this edition of Arts Playlist. Pifferot presents its performance, Tools of the Trade, next weekend in Philadelphia and Wilmington. For tickets and more information, visit pifferot.org. And to hear a longer version of this interview with more on these fascinating instruments, including some videos, check out this story online at DelawarePublic.org. And we wrap up the green next with Enlighten Me, where we learn more about the new University of Delaware women's ice hockey team. This is The Green on Delaware Public Media.